Blog Talk Radio.
I think it's that time. Is it that time? I don't know.
Okay. Hey, I'm trying to get crumb.
Tell them how we gonna come. Tell them why they don't hold on. Tell them why they better run.
Yeah, it's time to stand up and get crunk as always. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with 12th Man. You know, this is what we do. And now I really do apologize because the night is really off because we're on a Monday night. But that's okay. You know, due to certain scheduling and everyone staying kind of busy, this is what we do. I am Andre Peterson. I'm waiting for my co-host to join in. I'm pretty sure he is either driving back or en route. So this is what we do, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. If you want to call into the show, the number to call into the show, it is, as always, 424-243-9519. And I am Andre Peterson. Wow. It takes you some time to kind of reassess and everything like that. But I'm going to give you some information if you want to follow us on Twitter, if you want to follow us via Twitter. There's a couple ways. And also on Facebook, if you want to follow us via Twitter, we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And we are also available via Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports or Play and Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find us in that format as well. So with that being said, what do we want to kick it off? I mean, obviously we had a pretty good weekend. The NBA All-Star game was actually on. I'm kind of curious what everyone's thoughts about the new format. The new dunk format, you had the East versus West. And the dunk contest is not the same. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Also thinking about talking about kind of what sport has the best All-Star game. So whenever you kind of look at the all four professional sports, you got baseball, you've got hockey, you've got the Pro Bowl, obviously, with the NFL. And I guess the question that I want to throw out there to everyone is not only which ones do you think is the best or the best All-Star game, but also if you were the commissioner, what would you do to kind of switch that up too? So if you were kind of calling the shots, what would you think if you're like, hey, I'm Roger Goodell for the NFL or I'm, you know, David Stern, I know he stepped down, but if you're the commissioner of the NBA, what would you do to kind of change up the league and what would have the best option too? So a couple of things to think about as far as that. And then finally, we'll talk a little bit about some mock NFL drafts. I know Terrell Suggs just signed a four-year extension. We're getting a lot of feedback as far as some NBA trade rumors, so we'll talk about that as well because I know there's one. If you are a Hawks fan, there's one involving Jeff Teague. Not sure how serious that is, but we'll touch base on that as well. So, as mentioned, you've got the numbers. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Let's kind of talk about everything that's going on right now. So, first and foremost, I want to talk about the NBA All-Star Game, too. And I know, it's kind of one of those catch-22 things because I think the NBA, they've got the right idea as far as, you know, players, and you got the stars, and I love the. I was actually watching the All-Star Celebrity Game, which is pretty interesting. That was very entertaining to me. See like the Kevin Harts and celebrities that think that they can play basketball, and it was just good to see. I love the fact that they've kind of peppered some WNBA players with, you know, celebrities and some players that, you know, that play the game, and it was just great to see that. So I'm actually a fan of that particular thing too. You know, we had really good. I was kind of engaged. Kevin Hart did his thing. It was so hilarious. Big, big thumbs up in that aspect. So, you know, you got that part of the game right. If you're in the NBA, you have all the stars flying in. They're all engaged. And also when it comes to the skills competition, too. So you've got the skills competition. You got them doing the money balls. You've got them, doing, like, the game of horses. You invite the old players. I thought that was fantastic. So there is some strategy as far as that. Big thumbs up as far as that. I'm also a fan as well of what they have as far as you got the sophomores versus the freshmen or the rookies, if you will. So I think that's great. It's a great way to showcase young talent, and some of these players that may get a chance to be voted as future All-Stars. But I think it's fantastic to see these young guys kind of go head-to-head. And if you're a fan of certain, players, you may not get a chance to see them, because of whatever time situations or whatever. So it's just kind of interesting, too, how you're able to kind of watch these guys and kind of see how they're able to develop. So huge, huge fan of that particular aspect of the game. So that being said, let's get to the – I know we'll talk about the dunk contest, too. Anyway, let's kind of take a step back and let's get into the actual game. And I don't know if it's what the fans want to see because it's kind of arbitrary because here you got a situation where – all the players are voted in strictly by the fans. So it's kind of a catch-22 in that, you got a player like Kobe who's hurt, very popular player, probably the second hardest vote-getter behind LeBron, and he wasn't even able to play. So that's one of the situations where you're like, come on, fans. Kobe, really, he only played like a couple of games this year, and yet he's getting voted in as an All-Star. And I get it. I know he's definitely, in his prime, obviously, Hall of Fame, top player. I'm not a huge Kobe fan, but I'm just saying I get it. I mean, he's definitely a player you want to vote in as a perennial All-Star. But he should not, and he didn't deserve to be an All-Star. I mean, I'm just calling it like it is, America. I don't think he deserved at all to be an All-Star because he didn't play enough. And like I said, get him in there. I know they did a great job of replacing James Harden with him on the roster, which I think Harden is, like you said, just another outstanding All-Star. He deserved everything for that particular situation. Now, getting back to the game, as I'm watching the game, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, and I know I'm not the biggest NBA fan like Robert. I mean, I'm a fan, obviously, but you got some people that are watching every single thing on NBA TV. I mean, I watch a lot of games. But I'm watching the game, and I'm just the lack of defense and – I know they're doing alley-oops to one another, and I get it. I mean, it's like, you're showing off certain skills and stuff like that, too. But wouldn't it be cool if it was an actual game where you could actually see these guys kind of hunkering down? And I don't know that's what we're going to talk about, too, as far as what sport has the best All-Star game, because if I'm watching it, I think baseball has one of the truest forms of the All-Star game, and possibly even hockey, but just right now, it seems like, baseball is the only one where these guys are really playing hard, and it's in a natural element. Because for the basketball players, there's hardly any defense being played, and I know defense is not the thing that everyone wants to watch as well, but it would be really cool to see a game that's played, let's just hunker in and let's play. And maybe it's me. I mean, maybe we should kind of change how that plays out. In that maybe that we should kind of have some more behind it. So let's say that maybe you kind of add a little more incentive. I don't know if it's money. I don't know if it's I don't know what to do. But if I'm the commissioner of the NBA, I definitely have to change the format of the games and give something to the players to kind of definitely incentivize that. Because, I mean, like I said, you don't want the players to get hurt. I understand. I mean, it's an All-Star game. You don't want players to get hurt for the season. Maybe you're kind of promising them, if they do get hurt, you get a guaranteed contract. I don't know, but it just seems to me that there's got to be more than just dunking an alley-oop and making it light. So that being said, that's my opinion about that. Let's talk about the format of the dunk contest. At first, I had pretty high hopes for this. The way that, if you didn't know, it was kind of set up in that you had a team of dunkers from the East and a team of dunkers that were selected from the West. These guys, they signed up for the dunk contest, and they were pretty much like, all right, you're on the West squad and you're on the East squad. Now, each time the dunkers, they were ranked based upon their dunks, and if they went well, then, they just continued. And it was kind of like, you had three dunkers for the East and vice versa. So I was watching it, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, I had a lot of high hopes for this. But as I'm sitting back watching this, it kind of left me a little empty. And I don't know if it's star power. I don't know what it is. I mean, whenever you have people missing dunks and, you know, jumping over people. And it starts to get like it's very comical, like it's not it left me wanting more, to say the least. So I was not a big fan of that. And if I am the commissioner of the NBA, maybe we kind of make it like the Olympics. And just follow me for a quick second, America. You make it like the Olympics in that, let's say that you have a certain amount of dunks. Like, you know, the first dunk is going to be windmill dunk. So everyone has to do a windmill dunk. And then the second dunk is everyone has to do a two-handed, you know, backward dunk or something like that. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't have to be that stringent, but I'm thinking everyone gets graded on executing certain dunks. Let's have everyone do the dunk from the free throw line. You know, so, you know, it's how you make that particular. So, in other words, it's almost Olympic-like because you're basically saying, hey, these are the dunks that you are supposed to execute. And the dunker that is able to pull off these dunks without missing, without dunking like 17 times, but you add your own artistic flair to that particular dunk. Maybe that's something that you should do. And like I said, you know, I was a big fan of the NBA. I'm a child of the 80s and the 90s, so in that particular span, I was right within the Michael Jordan era. So for me, and I know I've got some people that are not going to like this, but, you know, I thought Michael was one of the greatest players I saw play because he was right within my time frame. Everyone that may want to lean towards Kobe or LeBron, you got to remember, and I'm going to say this honestly, Kobe got a lot of his moves from Michael Jordan. So I don't care what you could say. I've got some people even have the audacity to say that Michael Jordan 2, Kobe 1, that's not even, that doesn't even make any sense. So, because a lot of his moves that that Kobe has actually emulated or worked on actually came from you know, Michael Jordan. So, as mentioned, you're watching Jordan, and I saw the way that he was able to captivate the audience. You know, with his all of his dunks, with the free throw line dunk, with the sideways dunk. I mean, just, you know, he didn't really have a sure power in his dunks, it seemed like, but it was all about just the way that he's able to glide and just the finesse with about, you know, that he made the dunks. Now, obviously, that's why you have different variants of dunks. You know, you got some people that are hard dunkers, like the Blake Griffins of the world. You know, Sean Kemp, I mean, this guy was just a monstrous dunker, same as Karl Malone. So maybe you have kind of a session where you grade the people based upon the power of the dunk, based upon the grace of the dunk, and then maybe you know, the hang time or something like that too. So that's me, and I don't know, maybe that's something that it's a couple of years down the road, but the current thing, it's definitely that's a big thumbs down from me. So I don't know. I know I'm talking a lot. Looks like Robert's not going to get a chance to join us on a particular call. But that's okay. So with that being said, I'm not going to push the show past the OT portion, but I'm going to keep it right at 30 minutes because with just me, it's hard to talk for that long, if you will. So once again, the number to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. We are also open via Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and we are also available via Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/talking12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will be able to find us as well. So that's kind of my thoughts on the All-Star game and kind of what we would do to change it if I was the commissioner. Like I said, a huge fan of the All-Star celebrity game. I think that's fantastic. You have celebrities come into play with the WNBA players and as well as players you know, that they're slightly, you know, they're not current in that essence, but they kind of do a good job of mixing certain players. I think that's fantastic. Big thumbs up for the skills competition once again. I like the 3-point contest, and I love the youngsters. We got the sophomores versus a rookie game. I love that as well too. So anyway, that's what I would say as far as that. The question I also pose to you guys, America, was which sport has the best All-Star game? And this is out of the four main sports, so which is obviously hockey, NBA, NFL, and baseball. And right now, even though you know, you can say that certain games may not be the most exciting games, but that's okay. I mean, we got to give them their respect. I got to say baseball is probably the truest form to an all-star game. Baseball and hockey with a close second. The reason why I say baseball is pretty close is that, you know, you got players playing great positions. These guys are not taking plays off, for lack of a better word. You got pitchers that come in pitching. You know, you got, you know, the best of the best. If you're a pitcher, you are pitching to a phenomenal lineup. You're pitching to all-stars. I mean, that is awesome. So it is a true all-star game in that particular format. If you're batting, you're batting against some of the best pitchers in the game. So I think it's a true representation as far as how it should be. You got players playing hard. You got players playing their positions. Managers, they come in, you know, you got a pitcher pitching one inning, you got nine pitchers, you got the closer. It's managed just like a real game. So I give baseball a huge, huge thumbs up as far as how they do a great job as far as that. Now, on the other thing, not a huge, huge fan of the home run contest. I think it's cool. I mean, I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but, you know, I don't know if there's a way to make that more exciting because, you know, it's good to see kind of somebody kind of tee off and have different rounds and whatnot. So I think it's exciting, but I don't think it's the most exciting, if you will. So if I'm a baseball, I'm figuring out a way to maybe tweak that. I don't know how you would make it any better, you know, a double play combination. I don't know. I'm just throwing out some ideas for you too. But, you know, but baseball gets it in that regard too. They do a good job. Excuse me, as far as getting the players out, the young bat girls and bat boys out on the field to kind of enjoy that, as well as, you know, it's just not as star-packed as you would expect to. I mean, I know that the traditions and the pageantry are fantastic, but once again, there's some things that they can work on in that front. Another sport that seems to get it right, in my opinion, and I'm not the biggest hockey fan, is that it's pretty cool. So, and it looks like I'm getting some love from Brian. Thank you for listening, Brian. Actually, it's pretty cool because I know I have another person to kind of banter back and forth. So if you want to call in the show, feel free to do so. It is the number to call in the show. It's 424-243-9519. So hopefully you get a better opinion of just one side. But that's okay. But another sport that I think does a pretty good job, it is the hockey. And the reason why I say hockey is because same exact thing as far as baseball. You got players playing similar positions. They're going up and down the ice. They're doing shifts. You know, you're going the best against the best. The best goalies. I don't know enough about if they're kind of shifting them in and out. And please forgive me, that's just on me. But I think it's pretty cool to see that particular aspect of the game. So hockey does a great job of producing an all-star game. Now, another one that we got to talk about, and we got 11 minutes left in the show, is the infamous Pro Bowl for the NFL. So we all know how the Pro Bowl works. And this is the one sport that I understand why we may not have them going off where they're playing as hard as they can and no blitzing, because football is not a – I've heard it say that it's not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. So – this is one of those particular games in that each play could be your last play, so I understand the impact of having an all-star game. I do really, really like it at the end of the year once everyone has finished the Super Bowl, all that jazz. I think we should go back to that particular thing because not only I think you also reward the players that are going to the Super Bowl that they can't participate now. So you got a player like a Russell Wilson who – you may want to get a chance to see him play once again in the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. But now that he's on the Super Bowl, yeah, you don't get a chance to see him. You know, the Peyton Mannings of the world. There's a lot of teams that didn't get a chance to play because they had to play in the Super Bowl. So that's something that I think as the NFL, I would change that particular thing. Another thing that I would possibly, you know, change is – I'm going to give some thumbs up here. I love the fact that we had Team Sanders versus Team Rice. I love that we were able to kind of separate the teams not if you were in the same conference, you were, you know, you may be playing on the same team or against each other. So I thought it was fantastic. So I love the draft. And as you can see, that game was actually a lot more competitive than the actual Super Bowl, which that's not a knock out there for my Broncos fans, but it was just interesting in that I'm sure all of us were pretty much in shock as far as how the game played out, too, because I figured you had the number one defense with the Seahawks versus the number one offense with the Broncos. And what happened? It seemed like the Broncos just kind of had a rough start. They didn't play their best. And that's okay. Certain things happen. But going back to kind of the all-star thing, if I'm the NFL, I would switch it in that you have the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl, just that we can take advantage of those players that didn't get a chance to go. And like I said, I understand the fact that you don't want, you know, football is a very violent game. You don't want players to get injured. But if I'm the NFL, maybe I'm doing something. I'm saying, hey, if you are a Pro Bowl player, maybe have some type of incentive in there. If you do get hurt, if it happens, you know, the team gets a draft pick or something to that effect, and that so that way we're actually rewarding the players for playing. And we do realize that, you know, like I said, they're not going all out. They're not trying to, like, you know, blitz and anything like that too. But, you know, it's just for me to see your, you know, you want to see your representative, your team play well and actually make an impact too. So that's my two cents on that particular foray. So I think you've covered all of the sports. We've covered baseball. We've covered hockey. We've covered the NBA. We've also covered the NFL. So, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Definitely feel free to post your feedback on our Facebook page. Once again, go to facebook.com/12thmansports, excuse me, or just put Talking Sports with 12th Man, and you'll be able to find us. Feel free to call in the show. That way, once again, if you ever want to call in the show, we invite you to do that. To our line, it is a toll-free number. Just call 424-243-9519, and we'd definitely love to hear your feedback. My co-host, Rob Ford, he was unable to join the show tonight, but that's okay. So, like, you're getting all of Andre at this particular time. For those people that are listening, I thank you. I appreciate that as well. I do have to say that with Robert, it's easier to kind of balance off and kind of go back and forth, too. So, anyway, I hope he's enjoying his evening. Looks like he got caught up with something, but that is okay. 7 minutes left into the show, and I guess I briefly wanted to talk. I know we are huge, huge fans of what's happening right now. So I know we have some big things, big college football, or excuse me, college basketball going on right now. March Madness is definitely right around the corner, so we're very excited to hear about that. I know we're going to keep an eye as far as some sleepers and some players, because these guys get ready to make a transition into the next part of their life. As well as we're going to talk a little bit more about some NFL mock draft information too, because it was definitely a sad day after the Super Bowl, because we realized that, I know we got the Combine, there's a couple different East-West games, and there are Senior Bowls that are coming up too. But I know we did a good job as far as previewing the mock draft. So if you ever want to hear, or if you ever want to kind of follow us as far as we do for the mock draft, we do a good job of kind of breaking out what each team's needs are, as well as figuring out where these players are going to be picked. And I know we've done our first mock draft over the past two shows. We actually started doing the first 20 players the first round, and we dived in the second round last week too. So same thing as well. We'll definitely get your feedback as far as that. I don't think we're going to go any further than third round, because at that point I think I may lose you guys. But, you know, just kind of your thoughts as far as the impact of what you guys think was happening. If you are a fan of a certain player or a certain team, definitely say, hey, I think this guy is overrated or underrated. And I'd love to get your feedback as far as that, because we do a great job as far as breaking down players and where we think they're going to go and projections and whatnot too. I know the whole NFL is pretty much wrapped up in everything that's happening with Richie Incognito and the Dolphins, as well as Michael Sam for the Missouri Tigers. And I actually encourage everyone, this is pretty neat, I'll have to post a link, I'll probably do this tomorrow, but there is a great, great article by Peter King. I think he had an intern or something to that effect, or somebody that was kind of like right below Peter King. And Peter King said, I want you to don't talk to any scouts. Don't look up any scattered reports. I just want you to watch all the tapes you can on Michael Sam. And I think it was really, really phenomenal because we looked at this guy, and he's like, you know, I didn't look at any, you know, I really wanted to concentrate and look at all the film for Michael Sam for his senior season, which was obviously this past season. And he made a great point. He's like, you know what, the film doesn't care if you're black or white, gay or straight or magenta. It doesn't really care. The film does not lie. And what he was able to do, he was able to, as mentioned, he didn't listen to anything that the scouts had to say. He just sat there and he watched all the games that Michael Sam played. And I thought it was phenomenal because he's talking about how Michael Sam, and it was actually helped by having a really good defense. And, you know, not taking anything away from Michael Sam was kind of the report. But he was basically telling us that he's like, here you got a guy who was got tremendous leadership quality skills. He's a hustle player, and I know that gets a bad rap in the NFL. It means you got a high motor. But he was actually, that's actually a good thing because certain players you have to coach up and you have to, like, motivate. So that's a check mark in Michael Sam's favor. But on the flip side, he was like, you know, if you're helped with a good defense, I mean, you're just kind of required to make certain plays. Now, if you're Michael Sam, he said, you know, you got to think that towards the end of the games, you're putting your best defensive players on the field. And from what his vantage point was probably near the end of those particular games, Michael Sam probably played 9 out of the 12 snaps or something like that. So high percentage, but, you know, as mentioned, it wasn't enough to make an impact from his vantage points. And this is, like I said, all looking at the tape for Missouri for Michael Sam for last year. So what showed up on film? High hustle, high character guy, always trying to be in the right place at the right time. Another thing that showed up on the film, obviously, that he talked about was that, you know, while he was a good player, he wasn't a player that was game planned against. So basically, you have a guy that, you know, we're not going to try to, like, basically say, oh, we got to watch out for Michael Sam, we got to scheme against this guy. Not like a Jadeveon Clowney or certain impact players that you know about. So, like I said, it's not a knock on Michael Sam, but just kind of, like I said, the film doesn't lie. The film is going to show you what you're going to show you. And like you said, he also said because he was surrounded by all these great players, Michael made enough certain plays that were presented to him, but he didn't do anything that was over and above outstanding. So I love it because here you have a situation where you're looking strictly at the player, and he said based upon his grade, he's probably graded him out to be maybe a third or fourth round pick at this time. So that is how you evaluate a player. You basically look at all his tape, all his film, and you say, this is where the player is. You know, he only had a couple of pass rush moves. He wasn't overly dominant in that particular regard. He went to get some decent offensive tackles, but not anything that was like, you know, the top tackles of the game. And basically he's saying, you're going to probably play against the best of the best in the NFL. So, you know, you got to give Michael Sam a grade as, you know, a decent player. Maybe that rating is warranted. So, instead, I really, really appreciate everyone taking the time to listen in to Talking Sports with 12th Man. We typically do the show every Tuesday night at 11. We also have another 15 minutes, of the OT portion, which we kind of are not on the air, but if you'll listen to the show and archive it, you can do so. So with that being said, I really, really appreciate everyone listening in. And always, as always, like I said, just me. It's actually another my other guy, Robert Ford. We can kind of bounce your questions off too. So with that being said, I'm not going to go into the OT portion because it's just me. But feel free to give me your feedback, any thoughts, like I said, via Facebook, on Twitter, at the number 12th Man Sports. And we definitely love to get any type of comments that you would have as well. So like I said, with that being said, we will see you guys next week. We'll have Robert back on the show. And we will keep it moving in that regard. So I thank you so much. Hope I didn't bore you guys out in America too. So same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. out there in Hawaii, as well as my people in Japan and Germany as well. So I thank you guys for listening. See you guys not the same day, but the same time. Thanks, guys, so much. Andre out.